very good morning to you. Welcome into today's programme. Today on the programme, we're looking at voluntary and those that volunteer for orphanages. We're going back to that story that we had yesterday. Paul Bellew joins us in studio. We're also looking at a school bus transport plea today on the programme. There's a robot coming in to present the programme later on in the programme. We're also joined by the IFA and Central Pauline O'Reilly in relation to the Green Party and their thinking when it comes to agriculture and today's programme, and much more between now and 12 midday. We'll have the Connacht Tribune headlines. We'll be looking at the rollout of broadband and so much more. Do stay with us right through until 12 midday. Now, very good morning to you. Welcome into today's programme. If you do want to get in contact with us today for any comments and or otherwise, what you need to do here to get through to us here on Galway BFM is 086 38 33 553. Brought to you by Rationale Windows and Doors, bringing light and comfort into your home. You can get further details from rationale.ie. Bit like the programme as well, isn't it today? So if you want to get in contact with us, there are the numbers from there to get in contact with us. We need you to get in contact with us. And if you get a chance, that number again is 086 38 33 55 3. Now, we're all excited. We have the suit sent for cleaning, dry cleaning. We've the hair is to be cut and coiffured or whatever you call it today. Joan Fair is doing that. And we're all excited about tomorrow. We're going to be in Johishka for Community Matters, our OB from there. We have some lovely people joining us on that programme, by the way. So tomorrow, it's going to be very special. And it's going to be emotional because we're talking to a lady who lost her husband just a couple of weeks ago. And she lives in the area. She wants to say thank you. So she joins us. Her father-in-law joins us. Her husband's friend joins us. It's going to be just an emotional, and I'll be the most emotional of the whole lot of them, I would think, going through it. So we're coming to you live from the Kumasu Centre in Johishka tomorrow. We're going to be upstairs in their beautiful conference suite that they have upstairs there in the Kumasu Centre. So thank you to Dan Hurley and to all of the rest of the team that are making it possible. So we're there tomorrow. We'll be there from about 25 past half past eight, and we're going to air at 9 o'clock tomorrow. But as many people that are in the area, and if you want to pop in for a cup of tea or a cup of coffee or whatever you would like to pop in for, there'll be scones there, so there will, from the beautiful cafe that's downstairs. So if you want to pop into us tomorrow, have that cup of tea and just see how we do the programme, please do. I was joking about the suit, John. You don't have to get it dry cleaned. It's fine. You wore it at the Christmas party and it's still okay. Stains have come out handy enough though, with a comb or a sponge. Rather. Yeah. Emma Lynch is a supporter engagement and education manager with Tear Fund Ireland, and they're on the call of a working group to end volunteering at orphanages. So when I heard this yesterday, and all of the times we've spoken on this programme about people leaving this country, tradesmen and women, and going over and rebuilding orphanages and all of that, and I thought, this is a disgrace. This is an absolute thundering disgrace that they're going to stop this. So then after the programme yesterday, John and I, as we do each and every day, we're sitting down, and I decided, do you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to ring AD Roach, because I've known AD since day dot. And I rang AD and she explained it to me. And she said to me, Keith, settle down first off. And she said, but the situation is that when people come in from a foreign country to help the people, first off, there are issues, child safety issues, and I'll tell you about that in a moment. But secondly, she said, the child in question gets attached to the volunteer that comes in. And then that volunteer is gone within 10 days and that child is wondering, what did they do to send that nice person away? Anyway, Emma Lynch joins me on the line today and joins me on line one. Emma, good morning to you.
Good morning, good morning.
Thanks for joining us today on the programme. I got the wrong end of the stick yesterday. I thought this was terrible and all of that. But from talking to AD Roach and from talking to you this morning, this call causes more problems than good.
Yes, I think first off we need to say that when people volunteer from Ireland, they do so, the overwhelming proportion do so with the best of intentions. However, you know, just sometimes good intentions aren't enough. And listening to the voices of care leavers and also just reviewing research that has been coming out over the last couple of decades, we're more aware now of the impact of volunteering in orphanages. And just as you highlighted there from your conversation with Aidy Roach, just it can reinforce that sense of abandonment that children who've already suffered the trauma of being separated from their families and their communities have experienced. So people continually coming in and out of their lives. And we're looking at long-term life outcomes here. So just children and young people who grow up in institutional care have huge challenges really reintegrating back into society as adults and forming relationships, healthy relationships in adulthood, if they've continually experienced this abandonment.
During my conversation, which was short, by the way, because she was on a day off yesterday, her sister's birthday, they were in Skibbereen, and she shouldn't have answered the phone, but she did. She was talking about voluntourism. Now, this does not refer to the people in Ireland, I have to say. Well, I hope it doesn't.
Yeah.
But voluntourism is effectively where they go, and which never crossed my mind and bothered me when I put my head on the pillow last night. There's sexual exploitation, there's pimping, there's trafficking. Everything is possible in this situation. But voluntourism basically means they go, they volunteer, they become part of the fabric of society, they have a good time, and then once they leave again, these kids are scratching their heads saying, what did I do wrong?
Yes, so there's been an explosion in opportunities for volunteering and its popularity over the last couple of decades. And annually, prior to the COVID pandemic, it was estimated to be worth $173 billion every year. So a massive, massive industry. And I suppose just looking at this orphanage issue, we saw research came out just around 2011 that the number of orphanages in Cambodia, for example, went up by 75% between 2005 and 2010. There had been no, you know, increase in the number of orphans. In fact, 8 out of every 10 children in an institution today has at least one living parent or relatives who, with the right support, would be willing to care for them. So this voluntourism industry has been responsible just for fueling an increase in the separation of children from their families. And as you know, you were saying about the exploitation, I suppose if we step back and think about it, why would there be orphanages next to safari parks? Why would there be orphanages in the tourist areas in major cities in certain countries? For example, if you went through Temple Bar, would you see an advertisement saying, volunteer in a residential care institution in Ireland for €100 this week? You know, just we'd find it hard to get our minds around that. People coming into Ireland for a week's holiday visiting and having access to vulnerable children. It's just unthinkable. And also in many countries, they wouldn't have the child safety guidelines, the child protection policies that we have here. Nor might they have the resources to vet volunteers coming in. So children are left extremely vulnerable and open to exploitation.
I remember many years ago, Emma, and God above, I'm going back maybe 20 years at this stage, but Father Shay Cullen sat in this studio with me. And he spoke about what was going on in the Philippines and elsewhere. And he was talking about this exploitation. And then when I look at what you say, that in Cambodia, 75% rise in orphanages. They creating these orphanages for that voluntourism, which it kind of masks the true problem and the exploitation of the young people in question?
Well, I suppose the research has been showing that there just is a growing orphanage industry, that it is a profitable business model for some. So what care leavers are calling on us to do is to join in a growing global movement to strengthen families, to strengthen communities, so that children who might be at risk of being incentivized to be placed into institutional care, you know, their parents, the main driver for children being placed into care in certain countries is actually poverty. And then if you add another shock, say as a death of one parent or healthcare issues or the desire for a better education, if you add something to that poverty, if we can take the problems out of the family, take the problems out of the community, rather than taking the children out, that really will be progress. And there are a number of human rights instruments that actually, you know, just call for children to, you know, they have a right to be kept in their families, the rights of the UN Convention on the Rights of the Child, the UN Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disability. And then in 2019, 193 countries around the world signed up to a UN resolution calling for institutions to be progressively eliminated and for more work to be done to keep children in their families and in their communities. And Ireland was one of those 193 countries. One of the things we're asking the Irish government to do, the Department of Foreign Affairs actually, is just to introduce something as simple as travel advice for people travelling overseas. If they're travelling and they think of volunteering in an orphanage, just giving them some pointers of things they should be aware of to educate themselves. The UK, the US and Australia already have this. So this is just one of our asks. And then, you know, this global movement to keep children at home and in family and progressively eliminate institutions, obviously we need to help those institutions that want to change their practice in a safe way. We need to support them. So we're also calling on Irish Aid just to have a funding stream just to help, you know, just people or organisations to transition with their partners, and also then also just to not support, you know, just institutional or volunteering in orphanages. And just finally, one thing we'd really love to see just the Department of Education doing is introducing guidelines for school trips, because many school trips visit orphanages still overseas, and we would really like to see guidelines there about you know, ethical volunteering and child safe volunteering for schools. Just not only just should children or young people or anybody without the proper training and skills be interacting with vulnerable children overseas, but also many children we're hearing are coming back from those trips overseas and maybe aren't getting proper debriefing and support when they come back, and are actually left traumatised by the things that they've experienced and seen. So there's a few things just, you know, with this campaign that we've been asking for.
Pray tell, would you tell me, Emma Lynch, why would you bring secondary school, I take it they're secondary school students, maybe TY students, why would you bring them to an orphanage in a foreign country?
You may be asking the wrong person, but certainly I know that one of the things that's been popular about orphanages is that it's sort of like an easy environment to go to. It's an enclosed environment. But I may not be the best person to ask, but, you know, we just really want to open the thinking box that people would think about this. You were saying, like, last night when you laid your head on the pillow, or even yesterday, some of the things in your conversation with Aidy Roach, just, you know, just you were just started, you know, thinking differently about these issues. Really, we just want to raise awareness so that people begin to think differently about these things.
But you see, I think what shocks me is, it's my age and maybe I just lead a privileged life, and but I just think it's absolutely shocking that a school, and I don't know how it's happened from Ireland, would bring TY students to an orphanage to help the young people in question. And again, and it did not come to me, and I'm straight up about this, until Aidy Roach put me back in my box yesterday and said, look it, this is what is called voluntourism. And then you tell me that they're built on the side of these grand plains where animals roam freely, and then you tell me that 8 out of 10 people in these orphanages have a living relative that could rear them if financial help was put in place for them. And then we look at Cambodia, it's gone up by 75%, and then you say that they're a very lucrative business. I'm not saying you're saying, like, you've painted a picture which is diabolical this morning, that this is going on in this world, and it's all seen to be charitable work, and it's all wonderful.
Yeah, and I think the thing is, though, that, you know, just this is about looking towards the future. So, you know, I myself visited an orphanage some years ago, and, you know, we really, this is not about the past. This is now that we know more,
the future,
now that we
yeah.
hear the voice of care leavers, now that we have all this research, let's look forward and think together, okay, how can we do things better in the future? And I'd really encourage any schools that are thinking of overseas trips, any individuals that are thinking of going overseas to volunteer, engage with COLOF. So COLOF.org is the website. On there, they have a code of good practice about how to volunteer in a sustainable, ethical way. And you'll find supports and information there, but you'll also find a directory of volunteer sending organisations who are signed up to the code of best practice in volunteering. So I'd just really like to leave you with that.
Yeah, and Emma, I mean, COLOF is COMHLAMH, which I think...
.org.
.org. I think, if I'm right, it's... That means together, I think, in English, so it's...
Absolutely.
Together.
It's a network of volunteer sending agencies who come together over the years, absolutely, to just to develop this code of best practice in overseas volunteering, yes.
And I suppose I've been abroad a few times to underdeveloped countries, and that the one that had the biggest effect on me, it was many years ago again, was in Kenya. My colleague Fionnuala was with us, and we had left the hotel and we had brought a packed lunch with us, and within it there was biscuits and there was chocolates and there was tea and there was sandwiches, and we were six, seven hours away from Kenya, from the capital of Kenya at the time, and Nairobi, and we went into this settlement, Emma, and Fionnuala went into her box and my box, and she stole the biscuits and the chocolates, and she went to give them. So she took them out of the two hampers that we had, and she went to give them to these two lovely children in Kenya, and the mother said, no, and she handed them back. She said, because they'll be expecting that again, and it won't be possible for me ever to be in a position to give them a packet of biscuits or to give them chocolate like that. So there's pockets in the world that we can ruin by just going in to help and by bringing Western cultures that they may never, ever get to see again.
No, absolutely. And I think as well, just maybe something you've hit on there as well, we need to reflect ourselves. Just, you know, this volunteering in orphanages and even this voluntourism, you know, it can actually reinforce just our colonial ideas of the white saviour, you know, and it can take away people's dignity.
Yeah.
And also impact, you know, culture and cultural identity. So absolutely, yeah.
It reminds me, and again, I'm kind of pulling the pin off the grenade on this, but it reminds me of many, many years ago, where a gang of men would go to a certain part of the world and they'd be off out playing golf, but they had other ulterior motives as well. But it was a golf trip, which was in the guise of a golf trip as well. So just if we could stop this today, voluntourism, voluntary going like that, go to COLOF, talk to them. Website is there, COMHLAMH. Check with them first. We're not saying anybody who's gone in the past has done any wrong. Any of the many, many people that joined us in the studio that raised huge amount of money and went out and did job. We're not blaming anybody. We're just saying moving forward today that maybe this is not the best way forward. Emma Lynch, thank you for joining us today on the programme. Emma Lynch is a supporter, engagement and education manager with Tear Fund Ireland. And they're on the COLOF working group to end volunteering at orphanages. It was great, by the way, to have a chat with the 80-year-old, even though it was her sister's birthday. They were in Skibbereen yesterday. She shouldn't have been talking to me. So we've arranged that when she's next in Galway, we'll have a bit of lunch and she can pop in and chat to us as well. Now, though, I'm sure some of you are as shocked as I was when I heard that yesterday. But I'm sure you're shocked this morning that there is such a thing as voluntourism.
Galway Tolls, in association with Tesco. Find our award-winning Irish ranges in store and online at tesco.ie.
Now, very good morning to you. Welcome into today's programme. Further details can be had on our previous conversation. If you want to go to COLOF, COMHLAMH.org, you can get further details from there. And that means together, so it does. Let me go to Galway's TD, Kieran Callan, who joins me on the line today. And again, beggars belief as to why somebody would take a ticket for a bus, a school bus that is, and not use it. But he's making a call on parents today to relinquish unused school transport tickets. And he joins me on the line today. Deputy Cannon, good morning to you.
Good morning, Keith.
Thanks for joining us. Now, there's a lot of school buses going hither and thither and to and fro right across the city and the county. Some of them are not that very full. So you're making this appeal to parents today that if they're not choosing, or the student is not choosing the ticket in question, to return it.
Yes, Keith. For many years now, families who have medical cards have access to free school transport. And then last year, in recognition of the very significant cost of living challenges that all families were facing across the country, the Minister for Education, Norma Foley, decided as a gesture of support to make school transport free for all families. It was a very welcome move at the time. But to be honest, Keith, it put the school transport system under significant pressure. Mary Crehan and her team in Kent Station there, who have done incredible work in trying to facilitate the vast majority of families, were just faced with an unprecedented level of demand. The school transport companies, the bus contract, our local bus contractors and the drivers, equally facing unprecedented demand. And thankfully, for the vast majority of families, their school transport needs were served. Additional buses were put on the road. It took a few months to get them on there, but they're on now. But there's one outstanding issue, Keith, and that's the fact that there are a number of those buses now travelling to and from schools each day with empty seats. And there are still a number of families, albeit a small number, but still a number of families who still don't have access to a school transport service. And for some families, and that isn't a major imposition. You know, if one of the parents isn't working, they can just drop the kids to school in the morning. But for a number of families where both parents are working, perhaps they have a really long and awkward commute, it is really a terrible imposition on them to have to find a way of getting their children to and from school each day. And the most frustrating aspect for them, Keith, is they see a school bus driving by their home each morning with empty seats. Mm. And when you speak to Mary Crehan, and you know, you might mention a particular route to Mary and to her team, and they will say, the locals will say there are 6, 7, 8 empty seats on that bus every morning. Yet when Mary Crehan pulls up that bus and that route on her computer, it's telling her the bus is full, simply because people have accessed a ticket and bought it, or not actually just didn't need to buy, access or sought a ticket and secured a ticket for that particular bus route, but are not using it for reasons best known to themselves. And what I'm asking parents this morning is those parents who have no intention, and you know, there are some parents who use the service intermittently, and that's perfectly understandable, but there are a small few, I suspect, that simply because it was free, they said, okay, that's something that I might need to avail of at some point in the future, but they haven't availed of it, they won't be availing of it. And what I'm asking today is that those parents would simply say, in a gesture of goodwill to their neighbours who urgently need to access the service, I'm just going to relinquish that ticket and send it back. I never did have any use for it. I won't have any use for it in the future.
Yeah, but you know the psyche though, God, you know, maybe when I'm on holidays in the Canaries in the middle of March and Johnny or Mary, they can use the bus then because I won't be able to bring them to school because we're going away for the fortnight. If something like that happens, is it the psyche of the Irish, if you have something, hold on to it?
I don't think so. To be honest, Keith, I just think it's a case of people saying, here was a service that they didn't previously have access to. It was being made free and they decided they wanted to have the security of having the service in place if they ever needed it. It's now apparent to them they don't need it, they won't need it at any point in the future. And I know when you go out to communities across Ireland and say to them, look, there are people within that community who urgently need to access a particular service, and a small gesture on your part can give them access to that service, I think in general people respond very positively to that. So what I'm saying to those parents this morning who have never used the service and will not be using the service is to go on to that very same portal that they used to secure the ticket, and there's a facility there just for cancelling it, and then just popping the ticket in the post to Bus Éireann, Kent Station, Air Square, Galway. It's as simple as that. And within days, that seat will then be on the system as being free, and then Mary Crahan and her team will be able to serve those people that urgently need to access the service. And if that could happen between now, and maybe, the next couple of weeks, it would really free... I'm really convinced it would free up a number of seats on a number of routes across the city and county of Galway, and just get people the peace of mind and the security of knowing that their children have a way to and from school every day. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, but again, if they're there, go onto the portal. But could it not be done on this in regards to, the driver?
I asked that question, Keith, and to be frank, once Bus Éireann, which is acting on behalf of the state, enters into a contract, which it is, it's saying that Bus Éireann, the entity, we are responsible for school transport. We are awarding you a ticket which guarantees you a seat on a particular school transport bus route. That is a formal contract between Bus Éireann and the parents involved. And unless the parents willingly exit from that contract, there's nothing that Bus Éireann can do. Bus Éireann can't decide halfway through the year, we have, evidence to suggest you're not availing of the service, therefore we're withdrawing the service. They can't do that. It's simply not possible.
All right. Listen, again, we're just urging parents, if you're listening to us today and you're in this position, that you consider handing that ticket back. And you mentioned Mary Crahan and the crew there. It must be very tough when people are ringing, looking to get a ticket for a bus, knowing that there's empty seats on it, and they can't because those seats have been allocated, whether they've been used or not. It is,
and I just wanted to thank Mary Crahan and all the team. They have done incredible work over the last 6-7 months in trying to facilitate as many families as possible, and indeed those school transport companies who, went above and beyond trying to reallocate buses, and it was a team effort across the whole of the county, and in general it worked. But now we have this problem, and as I say, Keith, it's as simple as for those parents who were not used, just to go on to that very same portal you used to book the service. It's still live, it's still up online there, and just cancel the ticket and just pop it in an envelope and send it to Bus Éireann, Kent Station, Eyre Square, Galway. It's as simple as that. And a small gesture of goodwill and support to your neighbours who urgently need to access that service.
All right, Deputy Kieran Cannon, thank you for joining us today on the programme. 9:37, we're back and we're speaking GAA next.
Galway Talks, in association with Tesco. Click and collect allows you to collect your order whenever suits you.
Now, the Galway GAA is represented by their chairman, Paul Bellew, in studio this morning because Galway GAA are appealing indeed for support of their Muintir na Gcailleamh fundraising initiative. And they have a mission since 2017. And Paul sits off to me today. Paul, morning to you.
Morning, Kate.
What is Muintir na Gcailleamh and this initiative that you have?
It's basically a vehicle, I think, to get the businesses of Galway, the business community around the county, involved with Galway GAA. I thought myself this might be something a year or two down the line, but I think after the year we've had, the appetite for it among business, it's always been on our radar to do so. It's just really building and building and building. We felt time was right given the success we had in the last year, and we've decided to kick off with building a community, I suppose, among the businesses of Galway and give them the opportunity to get involved with us as we go forward. I think there's massive potential in this county, Keith, on a number of fronts, between the universities, the yeah. population, the city, the county, and I think now is time to knit that together.
But I mean, it's a great initiative, but there's a finite amount of people, I suppose, you can take in. Like, you couldn't take in 1,000-odd people, could you?
No, you couldn't. And I mean, we have...
You're being realistic there.
We have opportunities, I suppose, for the bigger companies and the smaller companies. I think that's what this is about. And the event itself tomorrow night is a complimentary event. It's an invite event to people that have supported us over the last couple of years, but also to new businesses and new companies. So we do have a finite amount of opportunities we can give out there in our gold and silver packages, but the reaction we've had to date has probably overwhelmed us a little in terms of the level of interest and even sign up in advance. So it's been really, really positive.
You're overwhelmed because I think when people see change and people see new initiatives and otherwise. I mean, there is tremendous support for the GAA in Galway. And again, I think there's huge confidence in the current management structure within the GAA in Galway. So maybe that's why you're getting the support you're getting. Nothing to do with past, but we're in a different era now. It's 2023 at this stage.
I think there is a confidence. I think that is true. But I think as well, you can never underestimate the amount how much is tied to the success of your teams and the outlook of your teams. So I think we're competing well on all fronts, on and off the field. So yes, I do think there is a confidence. There has been a very positive reaction, even to the amount of people that are coming from an ambassadorial role, past players, both in football and hurling. And I think that's, Keith, the really exciting thing about tomorrow night is this is a one Galway event. Earlier in the year for our events for the All-Ireland Football Final, it was obviously very football orientated. Tomorrow night has, you know, Henry Shefflin and Pádraig Joyce on the same stage in the same room. Lots of other past players, lots of other, you know, people from both sides of hurling and football coming together. And this is the start of something. That is the idea that, you know, Galway as one entity pulling together all elements of it can be very, very powerful. And tomorrow night is a chance for us to outline our vision of not only where we're going the next 12 months, Keith, but where we're going the next 3 to 5 years and why we're doing this. And we think, you know, we're in a pretty good place. We also have great talent in Galway. We have good structures now. And from a resourcing perspective, we're getting there. And this is kind of the final push to do that.
And no, this is a ticket-only event and it's a business-only event. So there's no point in a few lads just rocking up. And if they want to get an invitation to this, what do they email looking?
Well, they can at this stage. I suppose we've 54 businesses in attendance tomorrow night as of now. And we've about 13 or 14 who unfortunately can't make it, have sent back their apologies, who are looking to get involved on the gold or silver side. So we're down to about 5 to 6 spaces left from a capacity point in the Galmont. So yeah, we can take about 5 or 6 more. So that's been unexpected, I have to say, you know, in a great way. But a powerful amount of work gone into it. And you referenced the management structure at the moment. 2 or 3 people can't do anything in Galway at the moment. People have come in and taken this on. Aidan Murray and Aidan the Mulkerns in particular are club nominees. They've done a power of work, reached out to 100 businesses, and to have, as I said, a response on up on 80, 54 confirmed to attend, a few more later today. I think that just shows where we are. But yeah, we can take 5 or 6 more, but that's it.
So you're not going to be shaking them down tomorrow for money. You're making the presentation and you're leaving it then open to them if they want to become partners with you. Or is that a fair comment now?
It's absolutely a fair comment, but it's much bigger than, it's not much about money. It's really about harnessing, as I said, the amount of people around Galway that could contribute to us going forward on a number of fronts, you know. It's about getting involved. It's the start of something. We see it as a forum going forward that we'll be bringing people together 2 or 3 times a year. So there's big benefits in that front from, you know, we'll be having our own business breakfast events, our golf classic, our race day. That's all involved. Our match day experience for those as well. And as I said, we have huge plans from a resourcing point of view. But no, it is a complimentary invite event. There's no compulsion or no advance commitment required. And I think that's just the confidence we have in our brand and in our product. And, you know, if people want in, it will be there for them. And if not, that's okay too.
There's a huge amount of volunteerism within the GAA in Galway and right across the country as well. But yet it's still, and we know from accounts and other conversations we've had, it's a huge machine to fund on an annual basis.
Yeah, it is. And this is planning. You know, it's planning down the road. It was 4.5 million this year. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if it crosses 5 million turnover in 2023. But I reiterate this point a lot, and it's a frustration I would have at national level in the GAA. I don't think people understand the scope of running a true dual county. And we are a true dual county. We will have 6 teams this year across minor, 20s and senior. Every one of them are aiming to win an All-Ireland title.
But somebody might say to themselves, that's a lot of money to run. But you have buses, you have accommodation, you have buses, you have, I mean, it's huge.
Yeah, I think we have it in the presentation tomorrow night. We have even on our brochure out there of an entity, like just last year, give people the idea of numbers. We had 16 intra-county squads last year from under 14 up to adult. We played 49 inter-county games, 257 people wore the Galway jersey, 137 people were involved in coaching, backroom. We had 1,226 academy players between 14 and 17 represented Galway last year, and there was a combined total of 678 training sessions among all those. So it's
I think, listening to those figures, and I'm looking at something else here, that's value for money.
There you go. You know, that just shows, and as I said, every one of them successful. And look, people want to be part of contributing. You know, I think that's the response we've got. People have asking us, why haven't we been doing this, or when is this going to come? So it's been a bit of both. We've had it in our mindset to do something like this. As I said, I'm pleasantly delighted that it's coming maybe a year or two quicker than we thought. But the positive energy that's out there has led us to do that. So there is demand. People want to contribute. People want to be involved. People want to be, you know, on there on match days, and they'll have access to the teams, as you say, with match day experiences, etc. So I think there's something for everybody in it, the small business and the larger business.
So what time is it kicking off then tomorrow?
Kicking off, opening the doors at 7 o'clock. You know, looking to, at the moment, so we've over 300 people registered to sit. You know, so 3-course meal, and I said myself and Michelle Healy will be outlining. In conjunction with Darren Maloney, just where we're going. Very casual, in the sense it's not a PowerPoint presentation, but just share the vision, as I said to you there. And then we'll have a couple more past players on stage, just talk about all things GA, all things Galway. And then to cap off, we'll be joined by Porrick and Henry for a chat with Dara, and looking ahead to the season in front of them, kicking off with Mayo on Saturday evening in Castlebar. And then finishing off with the band, and people can kick back and relax. So it, on its own, as an event, as a complimentary event, it's access to people really want to hear, you know. So it'll be fascinating in terms of insights from the two lads and from the other contributors on the night.
Good stuff. Listen, thanks for joining us. By the way, they're in already. Did you sort out the naming rights for Pier Stadium?
Still undergoing, yeah. There's a couple of people interested, as we said, but I've said this to you before, the naming rights Pier Stadium will be part of a bigger partnership, bigger piece. It's not just about slapping a name on it. If we're not fully happy with the name and how it fits, we're not going to go ahead with it. But you know, we expect that to be done at some point this year. The lights project is very, very much you know, we will be erecting lights in Pier Stadium in 2024. When exactly the time is, that's a matter you know, in terms of, we will need some final grant funding, but from a GA funding, from our own funding, almost all of that is in place. So that's part of the stadium as well, in terms of the rights, but it has to be the right fit for us.
Why can you not do it in 2023?
We can, you know, but I think, you know, if you're going to be opening up and your lights coming as well on top of everything else, the companies involved want that maximum exposure, that maximum launch. So there's two elements to that.
Yeah. You know. Yeah, but you could get the lights in this year if you needed to.
Lights will be definitely 2024. Definitely 2024. Yeah.
So, I mean, so the naming right has to sit with the product.
Exactly, exactly.
So you can't have contraceptive companies sponsoring, you know.
It has to be the right fit. Yeah. It has to be the right fit. It's a historic stadium, you know, as well. So we just have to, it has to be part of a wider betterment of the overall community and of Galway GA. And I think that's important to us.
And Duggan Park, who will feature as well, too.
Well, there's a couple of things. We have a massive amount going on in the infrastructure space. Last night, we've over a 6-figure upgrade going on in Loch George in the next week or two. Again, that's not really public news, because people aren't, you know, people don't see Loch George. It's our training centre for football hurling. Mary Judge and her committee done wonderful work there. So we've 6-figure investment going in there.
Wow.
Next week, we've worked to do an Athenry Tuame Stadium. Again, we'll see movement pretty soon. And Ballinasloe is on the cards for development work as well over the next 2 to 3 years. But what we will be doing, and I don't want to muddy the waters here, Friday night is about Muncher na Gáilleamh. It's about creating a forum, a business forum in Galway to move forward. But we will be doing a very more public and club orientated drive later in the year. And that will be all aimed at our infrastructure.
Paul, thank you for joining us, and I think it's very appropriate that we just play a few bars of a Saw Doctor song. Would you even guess what the title could be, Mr. Bellew?
I could imagine, Keith, ahead of tomorrow or Saturday night in Castlebar. I think it's a good one to go with. Yeah.
Isn't it? Really and truly. You could introduce it. Become a disc jockey for once. Paul Bellew, chairman of the Galway County Board. Thank you for joining us today.
Doing just once would be enough for those who've lost in life for love, for those who've lost their guile and nerve, their innocence and their drive and verve. For those who've been mistreated, discriminated, wronged or cheated,
Galway Tours, in association with Tesco. Find our award-winning Irish ranges in store and online at tesco.ie.